Lecture 33, Women at War, Part 2.
Our last lecture considered the northern and southern ideals for women as the Civil War approached, the ways in which the real lives of women often departed from those ideals in both sections, and the ways in which the war wrought changes for many women, especially middle-class women, on the northern home front. Now we'll continue our examination of women by looking first at white women on the Confederate home front, then black women in the South, and finally by surveying some of the ways in which women labored at the military front. Let's begin behind the lines in the Confederacy. As we've seen before, and as I've emphasized before, the fact that the war took place on Confederate soil made a very big difference in the respective experiences of women North and South. It was a much more personal violation in many ways for Confederate women. They were as lonely as Northern women, with men gone in the army, sons gone, husbands gone, relatives gone. But they also had to contend in many instances with being surrounded by an army, with their property picked over, confiscated, or destroyed. Many women in the Confederacy became refugees, white women, attempting to stay ahead of advancing Union soldiers. We'll talk more about that in a later lecture. Because of the Confederacy's transportation and supply problems, because they were so much more fragile, the Confederate women also could expect to suffer shortages sooner than many women in the North, and sometimes far more acute shortages than women in the North. Finally, Confederate women experienced a sense of defeat unknown to Northerners. A Georgia woman after the war looked at the wounded around her and commented, "There is new pathos in a crutch or an empty sleeve now that we know it was all for nothing." Well, most women in the North didn't have a sense that it had all been for nothing. And that dimension of the Confederate experience, I think, made it even more difficult for many women to cope with what was going on. Let's look at some of the ways that Southern women assumed roles during the war that were similar to the kinds of roles we discussed for Northern women in our last lecture. Let's start with benevolence. Here, too, Southern women responded with soldiers' aid societies, just as the women in the North did. But there is a major difference, because there was never the organization, the system, if you like, imposed on the process of benevolence in the Confederacy. They didn't develop the extensive national reach of things such as the U.S. Sanitary Commission. They remained in the Confederacy, these efforts, much more community or state oriented, without the equivalent of this big national group in the North. Women are doing lots of things for the men at the front. Robert E. Lee's wife sewed socks through the entire war. Her correspondence with Lee and his with her is filled with allusions to 6 dozen socks, 3 dozen pair of socks that she's sending to him, and then he's distributing among soldiers in the Army in Northern Virginia. That kind of activity continued throughout the war, sending food, sending clothing. Confederate women also became nurses. About 1,000 served officially. Not nearly as many served officially as in the North, but many thousands also served on an ad hoc basis. Again, I'll use an example from Gone with the Wind, where the battles for Atlanta are taking place, and Scarlett O'Hara finds herself in one of the large hospitals in Atlanta and is pressed into service to act as a nurse. That would have been a fairly common experience in the Confederacy. In the North, there was no equivalent. And again, it's because the battles are taking place in the South. There's a battle near you. Many women would be pressed into service as nurses, and then they would go back to doing whatever they'd been doing. Not as many official nurses, but many, many Confederate women taking part in nursing in the Confederacy. The war came to them. Louisa May Alcott had gone to the war. In the Confederacy, the war came to the women. In terms of government work, the Confederacy overall hired fewer women, and perhaps a bit more slowly than the Union government, but they did hire a significant number of women. The Treasury Department was one of the more important